Well, welcome to 98% Pure Potato, the podcast, the latest episode. This is a little bit late this week because of being away last week. So I'm going to put a post up today, I hope, and we'll put the next one out in a couple of days. So you'll have two in a week, but that's because we didn't have one last week. Now, what I'm doing is going through, in some detail, this idea of the screenplay workshop. And I was talking last time about this need to destabilize the character, to push them off their equilibrium so that the character goes into new territory. This week I want to talk about rivals and mentors, and to give you some examples, because I don't think I've really done enough of that yet. I've already explained that you build a cast around the character, and that it's important that for every member of the cast, that each member of the cast interacts with every other one. Otherwise, there's no point in having them. If they're simply bit characters, they don't really play a role. And it's in the interchange between the characters where they get to show their own character in action. That's how we get the development, whether it's in direct conflict or simply by showing the difference between the characters. So it makes sense to go into a bit more detail when we come on to the issue of mentors. Now, in the classic hero's journey, as laid out in Joseph Campbell, one of the main characters is the fairy godmother, Obi-Wan Kenobi, that sort of character who comes in just after the first crisis when the character has been destabilized and gives some advice. The whole point of the mentor is that the mentor has qualities that the hero doesn't, or heroine does not yet have, and helps them by giving them gifts or supporting them in some way through the early stages of their finding themselves cast adrift until they start to find their feet. So in the world of the brand screenplay workshop, how does that work? Well, a couple of examples I would give would be where you have a competitor who's not a direct rival, as in they're not necessarily directly trying to do you down, but they are significantly more powerful. And when I was working with Spa, the mineral water, Evian was one of the main characters we included in the screenplay because of Evian being a much more sophisticated, not only powerful, but sophisticated because of the way the brand character was. And it became quite important, not that they were in direct rivalry with each other, but for the Spa character to develop, we needed to find a way for the heroine to find herself in a place where she wasn't constantly being overwhelmed or compared unfavorably with this stronger rival. So that wasn't quite like a formal rival, but was almost like a mentor, because actually the relationship between the two was reasonably supportive. It was simply that one was so much stronger than the other, we had to find some space between them, and that's what we did in the storytelling. So that's often the way in which you can use other brands with whom you're not necessarily on a collision course, and they may not even be in your category. I remember when we did this as an exercise, and Guinness was a character. Guinness is a very strong character, but not because of being some kind of muscular hero, but because of having the strength of character to simply be charismatic and everyone responding to that character, and that created certain dynamics. And that was really interesting to see, that when you put the Guinness character alongside other brands, it created almost a kind of halo or mentoring effect, because that Guinness character is so well defined, and because the Guinness character doesn't need to go out there and do heroic things to get noticed. It's actually in that confidence and success and relative stillness that the Guinness character is shown. So that's another example. I wanted to go on to talk about rivals, because rivals can be really useful in a screenplay. If you've set an objective, and I'll give you an example, this was a story about three people competing for the same girl, so it was a sort of romantic drama. One was the brand we were working for, which was a fairly established brand, but quite recessive, and one was an American brand, and one was an Islamic brand, one which was quite conservative and was following much more strictly the Islamic code in terms of not applying interest. So we had three very different brands, and the way we set up the narrative for them was to try to get the attention of the girl. Now, from the American brand's point of view, the way in which you would go about it would be to ask her out on a date, and that would happen in a very westernized way. For the Islamic character, he would never do anything so worldly, so his approach was to go and see the parents and to ask formally for an opportunity to meet with a girl and for the families to meet to start to talk about an arranged marriage. And when this was suggested, I said, well, you have arranged marriages here. And they said, the people I was working with said, absolutely. So suddenly we moved into a very different cultural read where you had these different rivals. Now, the whole point was that our character was at a disadvantage by not being traditional enough, nor was the character flashy enough as represented by this American bank. Ultimately, the American bank came to grief because it was friendly, very accessible, but actually quite superficial. That was the problem. But the real challenge was to try and tell a realistic storyline about how this character could declare his love for the girl when the Islamic brand was doing things by the book, had tradition and doing the right things on his side. And so it was actually through the storytelling we came to quite an unusual discovery, which was that it was about giving the customer, in this case the girl, her freedom. I'm running ahead slightly on this one, but the issue was that as we told the story, we realized that this rival was much stronger and was in a much stronger position. And so we therefore had to push our own brand and storytelling even further to understand how in a storyline that our brand could come through. And to make it even more difficult, we made the brand a relative, a cousin of the girl who he was in love with. And so he was drawn in as a chaperone. So therefore he was a trusted member of the family. And he was therefore uncomfortably close to the girl in a way which made it difficult for her to notice him because he was part of the furniture. So he'd already set up much more of a drama where, in that sense, he was too close to be able to have that sort of detachment to come in as any kind of romantic hero. So we therefore had to go into all sorts of convolutions to find a way in which she could look at him differently because of what happened, and to see him through new eyes because she'd always seen him in a particular way and now she needed to see him in a different way. Now, if you are in marketing land, you'll recognize this sort of situation straight away. That was our task in the storytelling, and by doing the storytelling, we were able to get new insight as to how to do that in terms of the marketing. And it was particularly significant, as it turned out, because of the way in which it allowed us to look at ways of tackling conservative Islamic brands in a way in which is simply not overtly possible to do in marketing speak, but is through narrative drama. So that was also a really interesting exercise. But the reason why I want to use that as an example is because this idea of rivals is a really powerful thing. It's a major motif in films, whether it's a baddie who's trying to do something and he seems to be very powerful, all powerful, and your hero or heroine has got to somehow find a way around it. The whole point of the drama is that you create figures who are powerful where your own character is at a disadvantage, and it's through overcoming that disadvantage the character discovers who they are, they discover what they're capable of, and they're able to do something new. That's the whole point of the exercise. So hopefully I've explained in a little bit more detail about how we use mentors and rivals. If you haven't been following the series, I suggest you go back and listen to the other ones. I am in process of writing it up, so you can sit down and read it in one sitting once I've written it and produced it as an ebook. I think it's important to understand that when we're doing this, we're not doing a sort of what if or a scenario. We are genuinely storytelling, and we're leaving the marketing issues to one side and exploring the drama, because it's by exploring the drama we start to deal with the issues of characters who aren't strong enough, conflict which either throws you back, two steps back rather than one step forward, and conflict which draws out new qualities which gives you the ability to move forward. But I think I'll leave it there this week. Thanks for listening.